This is Justin with a quick note before today's show. I know that some of you are traveling frequently on deployments with limited connectivity, so I've put together a deployment kit. It's a flash drive with 80 episodes, including ones I haven't yet released on the show, as well as ebooks and a PDF of all the show notes. Check it out on the resources tab at beyondtheuniform.io. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 53 with Ben Vickery.
I think that the biggest thing is don't sell yourself short. I think I see too many people getting out on both the officer and enlisted side that look at these really simple programs. They're great programs that, you know, might have transition assistance to get you into certain career fields, or, you know, take that first available job or do something if you're working in logistics to go right back into logistics. But I think all too often people do it because it's convenient rather than because it's what they want to do. And I think that by really realizing that you're capable of looking at a lot of different things and that you're capable of working at a lot of different places, you know, figure out what you want to do rather than just what's easily available for you to do.
The top reason to listen to today's episode is Rockstar. Ben was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. Since transitioning out of the military, he went to Columbia University and landed a job at Google as a finance associate directly out of Columbia. As if that weren't enough, he's also pursuing an MBA at Berkeley's Haas School of Business while at Google. He has a great story of how he got there and what he learned along the way. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find other great episodes and resources. There, you'll also find show notes for each episode. Ben mentions quite a few resources for veterans, and I've included links to each of these in the show notes for his episode. So let's dive in to my interview with Ben Vickery. Well, joining me today in San Francisco is Ben Vickery. Ben, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So for listeners, I wanted to give a quick background on Ben. He works at Google as a finance associate, and he's also pursuing his MBA at Berkeley while full-time at Google. He started out as a sergeant in the Marine Corps and served for nearly 5 years, including time as an Afghan Pashto cryptologic linguist at 1st Radio Battalion. After the Marines, he went to Columbia University and then on to Google. He also works as an associate instructor at 4Block, an organization that equips high-potential veterans to achieve great careers at our nation's top companies. Well, I'd love to start off just kind of rewinding the clock and going back to when you made that decision to leave the Marine Corps. How did you approach that decision?
I guess maybe a little different than some people. I always knew that this wasn't a career for me. I wanted to do one enlistment, you know, I guess potentially two if there seemed to be the right motivation there. But I knew pretty much from the day I got in that, you know, this was an opportunity to kind of think about the next step as well. So there wasn't necessarily a single moment where I decided, but more so just, you know, 5 years of figuring out what was coming next.
When you did decide to leave the Marines, how did you decide between going to school versus going straight to a job?
Yeah, so before I enlisted, I actually, you know, spent my first couple years at college at Florida State, and I knew I wanted to go back and finish my degree. I just wasn't sure, you know, whether it was going to be right away or what I was looking to do. And realistically, coming out of the Marine Corps as a linguist, my options for kind of that immediate transferable skill set was right back into the DOD and not something I really wanted to do. So I knew that it was pretty much just figuring out where to go to school next.
Was there any resources you used to kind of, I mean, Columbia is such an exceptional school, and I'm wondering what advice you'd pass on to other veterans about how to achieve an outcome like that?
Yeah, I think tons of resources out there, but I'd say the best is just, you know, doing your homework, going through, reading the rankings, figuring out what's important to you from a university. And, you know, also equally important is, you know, what the support structure is at the school for veterans coming in, whether it's an undergraduate or a graduate education. For me, I realistically wasn't looking for a robust support structure. Columbia happened to have a pretty good one, but I was more so looking for a school that would set me up for success in kind of a number of career fields, especially more competitive ones.
And while you were at Columbia, you did a number of different internship programs. What would you want people to know about those internships and kind of what you learned from them and how you picked those for your summers?
Yeah, I would tell people that, you know, all my internships gave me the exact same thing, and it was, you know, more insight into what I didn't want to do. I got to Columbia, and I knew pretty quickly that coming in as a transfer student, I only had a couple years to basically figure out what my next step was. So I looked at, you know, different internship programs, different career paths. I interned doing research initially at Columbia's hospital, and, you know, quickly came to the conclusion that that wasn't for me. But it was an interesting experience, to say the least, and definitely, you know, the start of building out a resume that could kind of land me the next internship and the next opportunity. So from there, you know, my next internship, I was really interested in finance. I studied economics and was trying to figure out maybe going to Wall Street sounded like a good idea. So I interned at Bank of America and actually really liked the people I worked with, liked the company overall. I thought it was a really, really friendly place, but I found that the work wasn't exactly as purpose-driven as I was looking for, as well as I was more so looking for the reverse of the bureaucracy of the military in some ways. So towards the end of that internship, I immediately began looking for kind of the exact opposite, you know, with that, you know, small companies, no structure. Ended up working in operations at a startup for about 9 months, where I was, I think, the third person working in the office. So it was an interesting and very different experience.
What startup was that? Like, what sort of work did they do?
Yeah, so the startup was called Venwise, and we focused on working with early stage companies, usually post Series A, so after they've raised their first round of capital, essentially, and working with their C-level executives to push through some of the growth issues they're running into in small group environments. So we'd put together small groups of CEOs or CTOs or CMOs and help them kind of figure out how to move past those roadblocks, whether it was things as mundane as like figuring out, you know, the best marketing methodologies, or things as complex as, you know, lawsuits in the service industry and how to deal with those.
What was your takeaway from that? Was it like, I like this, but this is too small or too early stage? Or what were some of the takeaways you had?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there was a lot of great opportunity there. Had I stayed on, I think I was probably not the right person to help the company grow. Maybe a little bit later in the company growth pattern. But I walked out of there really knowing that I wanted that autonomy in a lot of ways, but that I saw the constraints we had by not being, you know, a larger company, not having the resources and all of that. So I started really kind of honing in on, kind of going back to the finance aspect, but honing in on what companies could give me sort of that leeway, but with all the resources behind it, to explore new things, take risks, and kind of keep that entrepreneurial spirit, but in a larger organization.
That's great. And so I'm assuming that takes us kind of to the graduation point, and then that you went to Google after that. How did you make the decision for Google, and what other types of companies were you thinking about at the time?
Yeah, I looked at a lot of different companies. I feel like some people look very specific to industry or very specific to you know, maybe even a job function, but I tried to take a more holistic approach and lay out the aspects of any role that I would find interesting and fulfilling and fun, and basically looked at different positions and said, can they fill these, you know, check these boxes for me? Whether it was, you know, like I said, that kind of having that entrepreneurial ability to, you know, blaze my own path, or, you know, being in somewhat of a challenging environment where there's constantly new challenges that we have to deal with, and, you know, new regulatory environments. So I applied to everything from a number of different tech companies to, you know, operations at hedge funds to even, you know, trading jobs on a trading floor in Chicago. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I think it just ended up with me settling on Google as being the right fit after, you know, talking to people and really kind of teasing out more and more of what I was looking for.
How did you, or any advice on, because that is a pretty broad field, and I could see how like a hedge fund could meet all of those needs, but it would be a very different experience from Google. And I'm just always curious, because the time for internships, especially in your case, was pretty limited. You didn't have a lot of summers to try out and get that firsthand experience. Were you able to find any way to kind of approximate that, or kind of tease out why Google was more appealing than hedge funds? I'm just wondering if that was like the interview process, or if you talked to other people, or how you were able to kind of get a little bit more data on that.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the interview process and reaching out. I always tell people it's shocking how many veterans are hidden in the dark corners of different companies. So if you can find them through LinkedIn or anything else, I do it now working too. I'm happy to talk to anybody if they reach out. So I really use that network and that kind of those connections to learn more about the company, more about the culture, and figure out where I might fit in. And like you said, they're very, very different companies. I was looking at very different industries. And I thought that there were, probably multiple places that I would have been happy. I think that, Google kind of fit a bunch of those things, and also had maybe a more relaxed working environment. So that was a big plus and a nice change.
That's awesome. What advice do you have for veterans who would want to apply to Google, or kind of what was your application process like?
Yeah. My application process was more, working through my network. I reached out to some friends that I knew who worked here, and asked if they had the time to talk, and basically went through some of the different roles I was looking at, and they ended up connecting me to a recruiter who ended up connecting me to this position. So kind of walking through those steps, it was a little backwards, I think, than some people do it, but I think it's the right way to do it, especially a company like Google or any major, Fortune 100. There's tens of thousands of applications that come in for every position, and, there's – I think a good example is Google gets about 1 to 2 million applications a year, and we only hire about 7,000 people a year. So if that's any indication of just how convoluted the process can be, it's definitely helpful to find sort of your sponsor on the inside that can help you navigate the process.
Was there any particular way you prepared for the interview process, or kind of got ready for potential questions?
Yeah, I think just research, learning as much as I could about the company, as much as I could about the culture, obviously the role, working in finance, it was something that, I knew I was going to get some of the more technical questions. But I think it's, especially coming out of undergrad, even being a little bit older, it was less about the technical knowledge and more about culture fit, general cognitive ability, leadership opportunities and leadership past. So I think I came in with a pretty strong background for that.
And you've held a variety of specific titles, but all of them seem to be around kind of finance associate. How would you explain, especially for someone who's on active duty, how would you explain what you do at Google?
Yeah. So I sometimes wonder what I do myself, but really what I focus on, I work with different teams, particularly around the accounting and finance operations area within finance, to identify key processes, figure out how we can make them more efficient, reduce risk, kind of minimize our touch points and increase the amount of automation we're using. So we're, reducing some of that spend, freeing up more time for the employees to focus on sort of the bigger picture.
What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? I imagine every day is different, but if you were to just say like, hey, on an average day, this is when I get into the office and this is the sorts of things I do. And I always think it helps to have that really granular view of painting the picture of what your life looks like.
Yeah, of course. Average is sort of interesting. There's never too much of an average day right now. I'll usually get in probably around 7:30 or 8:00. I take my meetings. I've got a team in India that I work with, so take all my morning meetings with them, then spend the rest of the morning basically catching up on emails and finalizing some details for deliverables usually for the day, that day or that week, and then really kind of dive into the meat and potatoes, work through my you know, any processes I'm currently working on. I do a lot of code review, for some of our developers that I work with, and figure out, you know, is this working right? Is it going to implement well? Reimagine some of our process flows, and kind of the idea for me is just constantly to question the status quo with our processes.
And you had mentioned that, a lot of veterans reach out to you and ask you questions. I'm wondering, what are some of the most common questions that you get about when these veterans reach out to you? What are they curious to know about?
Yeah, I think generally the biggest questions I get are around the culture fit, whether Google as a company is supportive, whether there's, any specific veteran hiring programs. I know some companies have them. Things of that nature. And so I think usually less so around the roles, unless they're moving into something very specific. Mm-hmm. It's usually around the company as a whole.
And what would you say about that? I'm just curious. I mean, it's just funny that I was surprised that was one of the common questions, just because the reputation for Google is it seems so common in culture now to say, like, it's a gold standard for how they treat employees. But I'm curious, how do you usually respond to people that ask that?
Yeah, I think we do have a good reputation for that. And so that's very helpful. And it provides a good baseline. But I think the key questions are, for most people looking, is there some sort of internal resource group? Is there opportunities to give back to the community and work within the community? I find that to be probably one of the more important things, is when people are, especially veterans, are looking, they want to have some sort of ability to connect back with the community and do different hiring events or resume workshops and things like that. And I think we definitely do that very well. We've got an internal group of veterans we call VetNet that is, hundreds of veterans strong, plus, probably 1,000 plus I'd say allies here at Google. So we work in a lot of different areas and do a lot of both internal, internal, resource building, as well as kind of external work with different groups. Like I said, we do resume workshops with Student Veterans of America, and we do leadership conferences for different universities, veterans groups, and things like that.
Mm. I'm just making a couple notes. I'll add all these to the show notes, but these all sound awesome. And I was curious about that too, because I know, at least from LinkedIn, you were very active at Columbia with the veterans group there. And so I was curious if that continued at Google and what that was like. And it sounds like VetNet seems to be a pretty good network within Google for forming those bonds and those connections.
Yeah, definitely. And, I'd probably like to be more active in it, but I think my schedule doesn't permit all the time. So,
for you had also said one of the questions was just about specific veteran programs to apply to, and mm-hmm. and is there something you would recommend for someone listening, like a specific veteran portal or a specific veteran program to apply to, or is it more nuanced than that?
Yeah, I don't think we have a specific hiring program. I know some companies do, but I think for us, We do have some public resources, and I don't remember off the top of my head what they are. But generally, I would say the best thing you can do is find somebody who works here and reach out. We talked pretty heavily internally about how we can get more veterans in, and the best way is to reach out, have a conversation with somebody, and try and start figuring out what the right position is, and working with somebody to figure out kind of how to get there.
I was going to ask this later, but what you said just sparked it is, I always like to ask about, for you personally, what habits you've tried to maintain from the military, but even more importantly, what habits you've tried to break to be successful out of the military. But when you were talking about the veterans at Google, I'm just wondering if you have thoughts on either like veterans that you've seen have applied to Google or people who have come through there, just kind of trends of like, hey, these are some habits you may need to change to be successful out of the military.
Yeah. I think some of the key things that are really helpful are, just the broader leadership initiatives that I know veterans can take, and kind of demonstrating their ability to take point on any project. The attention to detail is really key as well. I think one of the things that definitely you have to kind of let up on is the firmness of schedule. I know it's not unusual, and I'm now guilty of it probably too, to have meetings changed and canceled last second and deliverables pushed back at the last minute. And that's something that coming from the Marine Corps, I never thought, you know, was a norm. You know, if something needed to get done, you'd stay at the office till, you know, 4 a.m. if you had to get it done. And that's, while we encourage people to deliver things on time, I think there's definitely an opportunity to be a little more flexible, as well as the argument that if things are working like that, you're probably not working smart, and kind of the ability to challenge the way things are running.
Mm. Man, I'm like 10 years out at this point, and as you're saying this, it's actually my marriage that comes to mind, because I am so unrelenting on schedule, and my wife is the opposite, and I think that I should actually learn from that. I think what you're saying is like convicting me about, like, man, I got to ease up on that, because it is hard to, you get that drilled into you so much about being on time and just not missing deadlines. And you know, I think the truth is a lot of that, especially on personal life, and then a lot of times in professional life, it's not as strict and as stringent. And yeah, I think that's really good advice.
I think somebody once put it to me that, you know, if you're running around your office and you're holding two balls, one's glass and one's rubber, you need to know which one you can drop.
Oh, man.
Right?
That's great. I'm wondering if someone is listening, and what you're saying about your role and what you're saying about Google is appealing. What are some signs that they may really like life as a finance associate at Google? And what are some indications that this might actually not be a good fit for them?
Yeah. I think that there's, you know, a lot of reasons any role is good or not good for people. I think particularly at Google, working in finance is a really unique place. We work at, obviously, I think, one of the largest companies in the world, you know, in terms of our finances. We work on products and projects that are never seen before, so there's always new challenges. So that's really exciting, and I think that if you're always wanting kind of something new to come up and some new challenge to deal with, that no matter what role in finance, you're going to kind of run into that. We're sometimes the leaders in spaces, which is great, but that also means we have to figure out how to deal with the money aspects of things. And so I think that's good. But the other side of that is that that's not your only job. There's still, you have to keep the wheels turning in the background too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an interesting balance. And I think for some people, they're really happy to move into a company and kind of get that job where it's really steady and sort of a really core set of tasks that you work on. And that's probably not the place or probably not the role that you'll find here at Google. It's definitely a little more hectic, a little more nuanced. And, you know, while those aspects of any role do exist, it's not the norm. Mm-hmm.
That's great. If you were starting out again, let's say you were just leaving the Marine Corps right now, and you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you tell yourself right when you had made that transition?
That's a great question. I am not quite sure. You know, I think that I've had my own struggles with my transition at different times, but I think that overall, I think it's been exactly what I needed and got me to this point. So I'm not sure I would change anything.
Yeah,
if that makes any
No, that's a great sense. Sign, man. I love that. It's living without regrets and being happy with where you're at and realizing that any mistakes made along the way are what got you there and kind of learning from them. I think that's a great lesson. I'm wondering, you know, since that transition from the Marine Corps, in what ways have you felt ahead of your civilian counterparts because of that military service? And in what ways did you feel like you really had to catch up?
Yeah. I think that as far as being ahead, I have some definite advantages. I definitely stay on task pretty well probably comparatively. I'm definitely moving up quicker in the company, I think, than probably somebody at my same level coming in under the same circumstances. And I think it's recognized that I put in the effort, I work smart, and I, you know, deliver, I deliver all my products at, you know, a higher caliber than probably I otherwise would. You know, I think I've spent years learning how to learn, if you will, between the military and going back to school. So that's definitely been helpful. As far as feeling behind, I think that there's some struggles coming, especially as an enlisted man coming into school and then right out into the workforce. You're looking at positions that are entry-level positions, and it's frustrating at times when you're looking at those and you know, I've got 5, 6, 7 years of work experience that don't count, apparently. And that was something I had to come to terms with. But like I said, I think that coming in that instance, let me, you know, really excel in the positions. I've quickly caught up and surpassed basically where I would be. Had I just come, I guess, directly out with 7 years of, or 5 years of work experience and taken the same role. So I think that I'm, you know, that it felt like a harder, or it's more of a sticking point. Like I was a little bit behind, but I think, if you keep your eye on the ball and wait it out, you'll really catch up and excel.
I mean, I think that's true on the officer side as well. And I'll put for listeners in the show notes, I'll put a link to an interview I did with Jimmy Sopko, who's over at Pinterest. He articulated the exact same thing. And he, when he started at Pinterest, I think he'd served as an officer for like 5 years. He started as like a customer service rep, and it was like him and like 22-year-olds, you know, and like big pay cut and just kind of a little bit of ego check or a big ego check. And like you said, like, you know, at Google, you've quickly risen up through the ranks, and his experience was the same. It's like he put his head down and he worked and he paid his dues, and very quickly and ahead of his peers, he started to catch up. And I think that's a valuable lesson for either officer or enlisted, of just realizing that for many fields, you're going to have to take several steps back and kind of start in a more entry position. And like you've said, the skills of that discipline and hard work and all that life experience, it is going to pay off, you know, eventually. So I think that's really, really great advice. I'm wondering, when you left the Marines, did you think about staying on in the reserves or in any sort of capacity like that? Or how did you approach that decision?
It was an unfortunately easy decision. There's not many linguist positions in the reserves for the Marine Corps. And by not many, it's zero. So I didn't think that going back into another MOS school and essentially retraining for, you know, maybe 4 years of reserves was necessarily going to be worth the time.
That's great. And one of the last questions I wanted to ask is, if you could give advice to anyone, especially those listening right now who are on active duty, of things they could be doing right now to prepare themselves for their civilian career. And that could be a book, podcast, website, just anything at all. Is there any resource you would recommend that they could kind of take action today to start preparing?
Yeah, I think it's, as far as individual resources, I think there's so many to list. If you're interested in education, there's great organizations out there like Service to School. You know, I know the Marine Corps has the Leadership Scholar Program. There's also, if you're looking to transition to the corporate world, there's a ton of great programs out there for that. And I would definitely start looking. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes people make is not planning to get out the first day they're in. You know, I've been back on bases and talk to people. And when you ask people who's planning to get out, and you get, you know, maybe half of the people raise their hand, and that's unfortunately not the reality. Everybody in there is getting out. It's just a matter of when. And there has to be that reality that you're looking for the next step at some point, and having an idea of what that's going to be for yourself needs to be a priority.
Man, I think that's such great advice. I'm wondering, Do you apply that too? And like, when you think of like, when you thought of your internships, when you think of like the job positions you have, do you kind of try to adopt that mentality too, of just always having the end point in sight, kind of always having an exit strategy, or do you think that's unique to the military?
I think you can do that across a number of different things. I think your time horizons are different. Definitely in my current role, I'm not thinking about how I, you know, make CEO or anything, but probably looking at the next roles that I'm interested in and figuring out what I need to do where I'm at right now to not just succeed where I am, but succeed well enough that I can, you know, kind of roll into that next position that really might be slightly different or might be more managerial in nature, things like that. So I think it does help. I think the time horizon is the important part. And I think in the military, people, I hate to say it, but you get about, you know, one enlistment, one contract, 4 years, 5 years, and you don't have to make a decision really for those next 4 or 5 years. So I think you've got that time free to kind of plan the next steps within reason. I think there are obviously some decisions you make, but I think it's that was how I looked at it. I knew that enlisting, I had then, you know, 5 years that I got to figure out kind of what came after.
That's great. At the very end, I always like to try and just leave space to give you more room. I know I've kind of asked questions that I think would be helpful for listeners, but knowing that you have a group of active duty personnel and recently transitioned veterans listening, anything else you'd want to say to them that we haven't covered, either personal or professionally, any advice that you'd want to pass on?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is don't sell yourself short. I think I see too many people getting out on both the officer and enlisted side that look at these, you know, really simple programs. They're great programs that, you know, might have transition assistance to get you into certain career fields, or just, you know, take that first available job or do something if you're working in logistics to go right back into logistics. But I think all too often people do it because it's convenient rather than because it's what they want to do. And I think that by really kind of realizing that you're capable of looking at a lot of different things and that you're capable of working at a lot of different places, you know, figure out what you want to do rather than just what's easily available for you to do.
That's great. Well, Ben, I appreciate the advice. I appreciate the example, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Yeah.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Before you go, three important announcements. First, if you believe in what I'm doing and believe in supporting veterans in their careers, please, please, please help me spread the word. The best way I know to do that right now is by taking 18 seconds to write a review on iTunes. It would mean a lot. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback, because I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.